The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we're going to be talking about Shabbos, the Shabbat, the Sabbath. There's a wonderful Shabbat program being sponsored in the Brooklyn neighborhood of Crown Heights, where you can spend Shabbos with the Lubavitcher Hasidim. We're going to talk about Rabbi Levi Kaplan, who's going to talk to us about that. We have a wonderful, eclectic assortment of Jewish music. We opened up with a Don Olam and a little Latin beat there. That's really cool stuff. The portion of the week is the portion of Tetzaveh. We're continuing with the building of the sanctuary, an awesome Hasidic story at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Argentina's federal prosecutor will indict President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner and Foreign Minister Hector Timmermans for trying to cover up Iran's role in the 1994 bombing of the Jewish center in Buenos Aires. I don't understand why would they be doing that, but anyway, I don't live in Argentina. There is also growing suspicion in both Argentina and Israel that Iran was behind the death of former prosecutor Alberto Nisman, who died the day before filing charges against the government. Argentina is officially treating Nisman's death as a suicide. Intrigue continues. Hundreds of graves were desecrated at a French Jewish cemetery in Alsace. Alsace is located way up in the northeast corner. There's not many Jews that live there anymore. Rashi used to live there back in the 900s. France's Minister of Interior, Bernard Cazeneuve, condemned the attack in the strongest terms and described it as a heinous act. The city of Oslo, Norway, permanently closed the street leading to the Norwegian capital's main synagogue to traffic at the request of the Jewish community. The decision was made following the murder last week of a guard at the main synagogue in Copenhagen. The Italian Parliament, we're just all over Europe today. The Italian Parliament indefinitely postponed the vote on a non-binding resolution calling for the recognition of a Palestinian state. The motion is similar to the ones already voted on other European countries in recent months. A little closer to home, anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin more than doubled in 2014, according to an annual audit released last week. One day after widespread anti-Semitic vandalism was reported in Madison, the state's capital. Now, Madison, isn't that like a bastion of liberal? Yeah, you know, this is like, hello? And finally, some good news. 28,000 homes sold in Israel during the fourth quarter of 2014. It's a whopping 22% rise over the third quarter sales. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hey, Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. While we are tracking down Rabbi Levi Kaplan to talk about Shabbos, let's listen to Chaim Israel. He's singing a song called Rebbe Rebbe.
Rebbe Rebbe Rebbe, Areni mekasher et atzmi. Rebbe Rebbe Rebbe, Areni mekasher et atzmi.
never, ever, ever. Ale ni me kasher et atzmi. Rebe, rebe. Hare ni me kasher et atzmi.
Someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We have some time for a little more music over here. This is the Klezmatics. This is classic klezmer music. This is called Alle Brüder, which means all brothers, let's get up and dance.
Seinen alle Brüder, oi, oi, alle Brüder, und wir singen freilich Lieder, oi, oi, oi. Und wir halten sich in einem, oi, oi, sich in einem, als auch es ist nicht so, aber keinem, oi, oi, oi. Oi, 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 oi.
Azoi wir auch Russen erste, oi, oi, oi. Und wir seien alle Fred, oi, oi, alle Fred. Wie oi, ne Sonne, da wieder Mähle, oi, oi, oi. Ai, 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 ai,
assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Rabbi Levi Kaplan of the Jewish Learning Institute. The Jewish Learning Institute is sponsoring Shabbos in Crown Heights, Come Meet the Hasidim, in a couple of weeks. We're going to talk about the details soon. How are you, Levi?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Rabbi Finman. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
It is a pleasure to speak to you again as well. It has been a while. Levi and I are good buddies, actually. Okay, so the first thing I want to do before we talk about details is we're going to talk about Shabbos. Shabbos is the litmus test of a person's religiosity. If we want to know if, for example, if this bakery is a good bakery to eat, we say, is it run by a Shomer Shabbos baker? Does this baker keep the Shabbos? Same thing with a butcher. So even though I can keep kosher and not keep Shabbos, there's no contradiction to the two, but you can't eat in my bakery unless I keep Shabbos. And Shabbos is mentioned 39 times in the five books of Moses. So why all this emphasis on Shabbos, Levi Kaplan?
Shabbos affirms our faith and our belief in God as creator of the world. Essentially, recognizing God as creator of the world means that there is a purpose to creation. And essentially, the most important element of Judaism is recognizing our purpose of being, our purpose of existing. And essentially all of the commandments that follow are an expansion of, an extension of that purpose.
Okay, could you explain it? I take the day off and that proves my reason for being in existence.
Yeah, well, God creates the world and rests on the seventh day. By us resting on the seventh day, we are affirming. It's a way of stating that we believe that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh.
Okay.
So it's the symbolism of God, recognizing God as the creator. If the world wasn't created, if the world just came into existence on its own, then there isn't necessarily a purpose for being. If God, seeing God as the creator of the world essentially means that God and the will, desire to create a world, which ultimately means that there's a purpose to creation, which is what
Okay, that's really cool. Now, so let me ask you a question. And thinking back to Hanukkah, which really wasn't all that long ago, it's still frigid outside, so we can still talk about Hanukkah. One of the things that the Greeks wanted to do in their decrees was to cancel Shabbos. It's like, and the rationale was such that you want to take a day off from work. Okay, fine. Take a day off from work, but don't have your whole religion revolve around your day off from work. That doesn't make any sense. So why were the Greeks not correct there, Levi Kaplan?
Essentially, okay, you know, a big question, short answer, just to all practice, all ritual that a person takes upon themselves in their own lives are flexible within reason. In other words, it makes sense to me at this point in my life to have a day's rest. Okay, let me choose what day of the week. But what happens if at a certain point in my life it doesn't make sense for me to rest? So then suddenly that is compromised. Shabbos recognizes that it isn't about our own choice of a day. It isn't about our decision or a convenience of taking a day off. It isn't a question of utility. It's not pragmatism. It's a commandment. It's something given to us by God that is very specific. It's a particular day. It's not something that we choose. It's something that we accept. And it's that approach to all of Judaism, that it isn't something that is a convenience, something that we've decided on our own, which might possibly down the road seem as an inconvenience that's flexible because it was a decision we made. Rather, something that we accept from God. And that is the power, that is the force, that is the anchor of Shabbos and subsequently all observance.
Mm-hmm. So in essence, what you're saying, just put in one line, is Shabbos is really a cool thing.
I like it.
Okay, fair enough. I'll tell you a story. This happened with me. When I was about 15 years old, I was learning mathematics in high school, and we were learning set theory and set notations and all that kind of stuff. And I was introduced to the concept of a true infinity. And it intrigued me. And I said, there must be some way to get out of limitations and just deal with the infinite. And I looked high and low, and everywhere I looked, I found lots and lots of limitations. Somebody told me about what was at that time called the Pegusha, which was an encounter with Chabad weekend. It's a similar type of thing with the running, with the jail I was running. And I was billeted at a simple person's house. The person was a printer. It wasn't a big scholar that I knew about. He worked printing books. That's what he did. He had a small family. They had a nice house. Friday night, the phone began to ring. This is December 1975. There's no such thing as an answering machine yet. It hadn't been invented. And the phone rang, and it rang, and it rang, and it rang. And around after about 25 times of it ringing, I asked the guy, are you going to pick it up? And he said, no. And I said, what if it's important? And he said, what if it's not? And at that moment, I saw what this person had done was transcend limitations. I knew this guy was in the groove. Could you talk about Shabbos and what it does to the person who keeps Shabbos, Levi Kaplan?
I can talk about my personal experience. I can talk about the immediate surroundings.
Go ahead. You got about 12 minutes left.
Yeah, so definitely my fondest childhood memories are around the Shabbos table with the family. As a child, as a yeshiva student, the most meaningful learning happened on my own in that setting. There's something about unplugging and just immersing yourself in the study of Torah, specifically Hasidic philosophy, truly making inroads. Like the most impactful learning happened at that point, you know, at the Shabbos of my teenage and early 20s during those years. And today, as a family, it's truly the most cherished day. starting with the smells of Shabbos on Friday, the children coming home, all waiting anxiously, and spending the time at the Shabbos table and studying together with my children. It's a day where we transcend for just for that day the mundane, to truly experience life on a different level, to remind ourselves that we are more than just physical beings. We have a soul. And that's, to me, you know, that's my experience and what I see around me, the immediate community, people really looking for that special Shabbos experience, spending the time, coming to shul early to participate in a shiur, to learn. People who are so caught up in work during the week, don't have a free minute. And Shabbos, it's so important to them. I see the shining, I see the radiance, the sparkle in the eye, sitting around together and studying at the shul where I daven on Shabbos. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm, indeed. Now, there's a story, I don't know if it's apocryphal, if it's proven or not. I heard this story many years ago, and I've heard it several times, that when the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe came to visit America, that Albert Einstein was on the same boat. Did you ever hear this story?
I'm not sure I did.
Do you know who Albert Einstein is?
Yes.
Okay, good. So they got involved with conversations, and Einstein was commented as saying that one of the things that most impressed the then Lubavitcher Rebbe was the fact, the boat takes from wherever they were leaving from, it takes like, you know, 9-10 days to travel the Atlantic. The most impressive thing was that the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe was a chain smoker. He would light his next cigarette with his previous cigarette. When it came sundown on Friday, he stopped. And he didn't show any signs of discomfort. He wasn't having nicotine fits. He was, like you say, in the groove above the mundane. And as soon as Shabbos was over and they did the ceremony for ushering the Shabbos out, he went back to smoking again. I mean, that was before people knew. This is, you're talking the 30s when people thought that smoking was actually healthy for you. But so what is it really about the Shabbos that allows a person to overcome such physical limitations, Levi Kaplan, if you can answer that question?
On a very practical level, obviously it's the way we're raised. It's there. It's we're programmed that way. That's on a very practical level without looking at any deeper meaning. But, you know, I remember participating once in a seminar, and Rabbi Manas Friedman was talking about how this study of doctors studied the Jewish heart rate on Shabbos, that on Shabbos the heart rate was slower and more relaxed. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, that actual physical manifestation of the peace that Shabbos ushers on. And yes, part of it is nurture, the way we're raised. And then there's something more. There's, you know, possibly something we can't explain how. And, you know, I would go back to what I said earlier. It's something we accept. It's a gift from God, and a gift indeed. It's not a decision that we've made, which is, it wouldn't have that power. It wouldn't have that ability.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's talk the Jewish Learning Institute, which is an international organization of adult education, is sponsoring something called Shabbos in the Heights, which sounds really cool right there, but we're talking about Crown Heights specifically, which is a section in Brooklyn, which is where Lubavitchers are centered. And so tell us, what could people look forward to if they want to participate in that, Levi Kaplan?
So over the years, like you mentioned, in your own personal experience, people have been coming to Crown Heights. Crown Heights has drawn people from all walks of life, from all corners of the earth. People stream to Crown Heights to visit and to participate in the spirit of what happens here at the center of Chabad. While many people see it as an experience, you know, perhaps just like a sightseeing event, and perhaps people can get a feel for the spirit of what goes on in the community, but the content, the learning part, is something that people possibly don't have access to. And the World Jewish Learning Institute has hosted retreats and events that are centered around academic activities, around learning, you know, different ways of engaging with Jewish texts, etc. So here, bringing these two things together, many rabbis have reached out to the Jewish Learning Institute saying, look, we want to bring members of our community have been expressing an interest coming to, you know, they want to visit Crown Heights, and yet they also want to be able to learn, not just to walk the streets and to spend some time at the scribe or to take a look at the mikveh or the library, the Chabad library. They want to be able to learn as well, and we know that this is something, this is your specialty, so how about bringing this together? So that's how this came to be. And this is a pilot. It's the first year, and we're looking forward to see how this does and that it provides that truly uplifting experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so describe then, when is this Shabbos in the Heights, Levi Kaplan?
So it's over the March 13th through 15th weekend. The participants are going to be staying with local residents, something that we're putting together to get that true experience, being with the families in the homes, Friday night, ushering in the Shabbat. We have a lecture. Rabbi Yitzchak Shachat from England is going to be the in-house rabbi, in addition to other scholars that will be speaking to the participants. Friday night, a large meal, everyone together, lectures, etc. And during the Shabbat itself, people are going to break out and, you know, pray in the local shtibles, in the local little synagogues. There are about 85 local little, you know, little mini synagogues in the community. And also the Shabbat day meal will be with their hosts. And then Shabbat afternoon, there are programs, lectures. And then in the evening, we have some entertainment as well. We have a comedy night. And obviously the food, if anyone's familiar with the JLI standard, when it comes to lavish meals and so on, it'll be five-star catering. So it's all there. And Friday, before the Shabbat, the tour, guided tour around Crown Heights and getting a chance to see the sights and so on.
Mm-hmm. Sounds awesome.
On Sunday morning,
go ahead.
There'll be a trip to the Rebbe's Ohel and to continue seeing some of the sights.
Okay, awesome. And if people want to sign up for this, is there a website, Rabbi Levi Kaplan?
Yes. So, yes, the website is ShabbatInTheHeights.com.
Okay, Shabbat is S-H-A-B-B-A-T, In the Heights. It's all one word, I'm assuming.
Yes.
.com. And they can go and they can sign up. And there's still place available, folks. So, Levi, that's awesome. We want to thank you so much for coming on and letting us know and enlightening us a bit.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. And much hatzlacha.
Thank you. You too. All the best. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
The DSOs featuring Tchaikovsky all this month. Today, you can still catch a matinee performance of Tchaikovsky's Fourth. This weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you can listen to the piece de résistance of Tchaikovsky, the 1812 orchestra featuring acoustic cannon. They're not going to use a real cannon inside, but yeah, acoustic cannon's really good enough. So check it out. Go to DSO.org, a favorite sponsor of the Jewish Hour. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have coming up next, for your listening pleasure, this is the Yeshiva Boys Choir singing Adir.
Hashem Adoneinu, Oymo Adir Shimcho, Bechol Ha'oretz Adir Adireinu. Hashem Adoneinu, Oymo Adir Shimcho, Bechol Ha'oretz.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Tetzaveh, chapter 29 and following in the book of Exodus. Deals, for the most part, with the raiment, the fancy clothes of the high priest that he wore when he went to work every single day. This week's portion is unique, and it's unique such that it's brought to light by many, many commentaries that from the beginning of the book of Exodus until the book of Deuteronomy, there is not one chapter of that whole time that does not have Moses' name, except for the few chapters that make up this portion. In this portion, you will not find Moses' name mentioned. Instead of starting the portion at, like it normally would say, and God spoke to Moses to tell the Jewish people, saying, it starts, you tell the Jewish people. There's a simple reason given. In that next week's portion, we have the golden calf, and God tells Moses, listen, I'm fed up with the Jewish people. I'm going to wipe them all out. I'm going to start the Jewish people over with you. And the patriarchs will be, instead of just Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it'll be Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. You'll be the fourth patriarch. Moses told the Almighty, you do that, and you can take my name off the book. I don't want it being called the Five Books of Moses if you do that. So God said, okay, don't get upset. Keep your shoyd on. The translation is my own. But you can't talk to God like that. God said, you opened up a fresh mouth to me. I'm going to show you. And so he took Moses' name out of one portion of the Bible. So the question now can be asked, well, why this one? Why not out of Yaakov, the week after the golden calf is perpetrated? Why the week before the golden calf is perpetrated? The first commandment in this week's portion actually deals with the making of the oil for the menorah. It was done in a very, very special way. First of all, they only used grapes from a certain region, northern Israel. And they only, olives. You do not get olive oil out of a grape. They're doing grape seed oil now, which is, that's good. It's got like a higher flash point. So it's much more healthier than cooking with than other oils. But anyway, they would get the olives from a certain region. And the olives from this region, only specifically the ones from the top of the trees, which were exposed to more sunlight. And they would put the olive, normally, it's always amazes me, whenever I see like olives in the produce markets, sitting there, fresh olives, I look at them and I wonder, how is it possible to get oil out of this marble? Okay? And what they have to do with these things is they basically have to crush them into a pulp. And then the oil kind of just like comes out. The oil that was taken from the menorah, was put into a thing that looked kind of sort of like modern-day garlic press, probably a little stronger because if you put an olive in a garlic press, it would probably just break the garlic press. So this is a little stronger, and they would kvetch it by hand. And one drop of oil would come out, which was absolutely 100% sediment-free, pure, absolutely 100% or the best they could do it. The rest of the olive, that went into the press, and then that oil that was pressed out of the oil after that was good enough for other functions in the temple, but not good enough for the menorah. That process of kussis, of this kvetching, alludes to the idea of doing teshuvah, of doing repentance. And the word repentance is not exactly a good translation. We talked about that before, because the word teshuva means to return, to come home. When a person has strayed off the path, they don't need to repent. They need to get back on the path. Well, that's the way Jews approach this matter. Now, the idea of forgiving an atonement, which comes from the Almighty, is something which is really quite unbelievable, because here it is. There are 613 commandments mentioned in the five books of Moses. Each one of them is an expression of divine will. God's not just making this up. This is all part of a divine plan to making the world the best it could possibly be. Person violates one of the commandments, mucked up things. It's talked about in some of the ethical works of you don't understand how much you really messed up creation when you do something wrong. That's not my philosophy. My philosophy is rather than emphasizing what happens when you mess things up, it's more like, well, if you do the right thing all the time, you don't have to worry about that. So, but things get messed up because divine will isn't being expressed. So now the person comes back and says, wow, I really feel very bad about this, and I'm never going to do it again. According to Judaism, that is teshuva. That's coming back. Now what happens, it's up to the Almighty. So what has to happen in order to correct the deficiencies, which, by the way, there's no word for repentance in Judaism. There's really no word for sin in Hebrew either. The word which is colloquially used for sin is the word deficiency or lack, blemish. Chet means it's a nick, a dent. Something's missing. So there's this deficiency. So what now has to happen is in order to fill in the deficiency, there has to be a level of godliness which surpasses divine will, higher than divine will. And when a person does teshuva, does this return business, what they're tapping into is a level of will, a level of godliness, which is totally and completely beyond the creation levels. Meaning, why did God create the world? God wanted to be a world, and he wanted it to be a certain way, and he wanted people to be good. And here it is, this person messed things up. So now, in order to correct the situation, to clean up the mess, we have to relate to a level of godliness which is beyond even being related to creation. It's sort of alluded to at the beginning of the Ten Commandments. God says, the Ten Commandments start, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. There are three levels of godliness mentioned in that statement. There's Lord, which is the lowest, actually. It should be, I am God, your Lord, is the way the translation should go. Lord relates to creation. It has the word, the Hebrew word for Lord has the same numerical value as nature. It's all the godliness that you kind of figure out. It's February in Michigan. It's cold. There's nothing what to talk about. It's not news. It's not exciting. But it's also godly, because who made it snow? Well, God made it snow. What level? Elohim, Lord. Then there's levels of godliness, for example, that surpass the creation, the surpass nature. We translate Hashem. It's that level that we tap into when we keep the Shabbos, for example, that my business is able to flourish when I'm working 6 days, because the seventh day, God says, oh, I got that one. That's on my bill. That's not natural. That's not normal. That's going beyond. That name of God is actually an abbreviation of was, is, and will be. So was, is, and will be is something that doesn't exist within nature. Either it was, or it is, or it will be. But here, this level of God is simultaneously beyond time, beyond space. But then there's another level, the Anochi, the I, which that is beyond description. It's just what God is, not relevant to world, not related to world. Moses, in this week's portion of Tetzaveh, is referred to as Ata, you. You can only say you if the to whom you're addressing is right in front of you. If you're not talking directly to them, you're talking about them, that now becomes him. But this is you. It's face to face. mouth to mouth. Here it is. They're talking. And what is it that Moses is talking with? Moses is talking at this point in this chapter about getting the Jews forgiven for the golden calf, which was the most heinous crime perpetrated in the annals of history. To get them back in good, it wasn't going to take a little bit of godliness on a normal level or even a godliness on a supernatural level. It had to be the most essential levels of godliness. And in order for Moses to relate to that, Moses was the greatest soul that ever lived. He's the only person who ever talked face-to-face to God and could talk about it. And he could tell God no. The only person ever did that. But it wasn't Moses talking to God. It was you talking to I. Because in order to reach this level, Moses had to reach and relate to his essence, to God's essence. Where am I going with all this? It's all very esoteric. But guess what? The Almighty really wants a relationship with every one of us the same way. Moses wasn't unique in this detail. Okay, Moses spent 40 days on a mountain. He didn't have any food with him. And he came back and he was able to talk to God and his face shone like the sun. Okay, all these good things. Fine. That's not expected of you and or me because God didn't make us that way. But the Almighty wants us to relate on not a first name basis, but an I and you relationship. That's what we need to achieve. And for that, you have to go way down deep. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Hey, Shulfinman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? RabbiFinman.com, RabbiFinman.com. What will you find on RabbiFinman.com? Well, archived editions of the last 5 shows. You want to hear the show over again? Give me a couple hours. It takes a little bit for me to get up and, you know, to podcast it. I'm not even able to podcast it, I don't think, until 1 o'clock. So, and then by the time I get home and I have to eat lunch, you know how it goes. But if you wanted to hear last week's show, that's up there. It's 5 weeks ago show. That's going to be up there for a couple of weeks, a couple of hours more. So hop around, as we say, jump on the opportunity. You'll also find archive editions of the U Parsha, Hasidic U Story, E Parsha, which are different media in which yours truly conveys insights into Judaism in a hopefully entertaining and educational manner. And it's all done very brief. I'm into brevity. Because people don't have a lot of time. They want to get in. They want to get out. We're into the instantaneous gratification. I want that bit of information. I want to move on. That's what you find at RabbiFinman.com. You also find the donations page. We've got serious problems. It's the end of February. We got one more week, I think, in February. No, we don't. It's last week. Next month is already our anniversary. We've been 19 years on air. Thank you very much. We'd like to continue. And if you're listening, I'm sure you'd like us to continue too, or you wouldn't be listening. So, yes, I'm preaching to the choir. You're listening. Go to RabbiFinman.com. Click on the donations page. Donate whatever amount you want. If 10,000 people every month would give a dollar, I would have absolutely no problem. But that doesn't happen. But if you feel like giving a dollar, give a dollar. That's fine. And encourage all of your friends and relations to give a dollar. That's also good. Every bit adds up. I don't think on PayPal you could give less than a dollar, but I haven't tried. The don't like doing online credit card stuff. I can understand it's PayPal. Listen, they're supposed to be very, very, very secure. But I can understand people's misgivings and anxieties. No problem. Put a donation in the mail. and send it off to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. A little story before the story. I just heard this last week that the last week was celebrating the anniversary of the passing of Rebbetzin Chaya Mushka, the Lubavitcher Rebbe's wife. And someone asked her, what was the happiest moment of your life? And she said, right now, talking to you. So, and she wasn't like fooling, you know, just like making whatever. This is, you know, she definitely lived in the moment. Make the best out of the moment. That's a great, great insight. Anyway, but who am I talking about this week is Rabbi Shlomo Eliezer Al-Fandari, who is not majorly known. He didn't write any books, to the best of my knowledge. He was born in Turkey in 1820 and lived in Turkey for some 60 years or so. And they had always wanted him to be the chief rabbi of Istanbul, but he always declined because the idea is you can't be righteous in your own city. People would look at him and say, yeah, we remember when you were a kid and you were, you know, pulling people's pigtails, that kind of stuff, you know, that nonsense. And whenever anybody would ask him a question, because he was considered probably the smartest man in Istanbul, he would always defer to the chief rabbi. When he was 62, he was invited to be the chief rabbi of Damascus, which is a huge Jewish community. It was probably one of the centers of Judaism in the Middle East at that point. We're talking 1880s at that point. Yes, probably a massive Jewish community. Story goes that he was invited to some sort of a celebration, a bar mitzvah, a bris, a wedding, who knows. And he was listening to two people talking. And one of them was talking about seismology and different things involved with it, and, you know, the idea of a fault and how Damascus is very safe. There's not on a fault line, and earthquakes happen because of this, and you have this kind of a thing. So he just looked at this person and said, like, really, like, in sort of like a mean tone, he says, what are you talking about? If the Almighty wanted there to be an earthquake in Damascus, there could be an earthquake in Damascus. And as soon as he said this, the ground started shaking. And everybody kind of said, we're not going to mess with Rabbi Shlomo Eliezer Al-Fandari. He was chief rabbi for 20 years. When he was in 82, he felt a need to go to Israel. He wanted to make Aliyah. And he did. He lived in Haifa for about 3 years. But the rabbis of Sfat said, you should come to us and live in Sfat. And he was a rabbi in Sfat for another 20 years. Now he's 103. When he was 103, he got sick. Yeah, got sick. And he needed some kind of procedure. And in Sfat, they couldn't do the procedure. Actually, it says what it says is that the hospital, they weren't so modest to his care. And so he wanted to go to Shari Tzedek Hospital. And this is 1920 now. And he went to Shari Tzedek Hospital in Jerusalem, where they were more modest in taking care of the patients. Don't ask. But listen, if you're 102, you can get away with this type of stuff. It says that when he cured, the rabbis of Jerusalem impressed upon him that he should stay in Jerusalem and they would take care of him. Don't go back to the hills of Sfat, which was sort of like, that was like farmland back then. It's pretty, it's my daughter wasn't actually in the city of Sfat for Shabbos. It's a great place to be. It says that many world leaders, the Baba Sali, who was the head of the Moroccan community, Chaim Berlin, went to visit him when he was in his 100-and-whatevers in Jerusalem. He passed away this week at the age of 110 and is buried, it was 1930, and is buried in Har HaZaisim. That's going to do it for the show. We want to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week, and we hope to see you back again next week. Take care.